From NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Democrat Hillary Clinton is making her final push ahead of New Hampshire's Tuesday primaries as she and her surrogates target female voters specifically. NPR's Jessica Taylor has that story.
Former Secretary of State Madeleine Albright didn't mince words as she introduced Clinton, another former Secretary of State, at a get-out-the-vote rally in a middle school gym. Repeating a line she often uses, Albright said young female voters have a responsibility to vote for Clinton.
Just remember, there's a special place in hell for women who don't help each other.
Clinton is battling Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who leads in the Granite State. Sanders held his own event where he pressed voters to turn out and reminded them Clinton won the state in 2008. Jessica Taylor, NPR News, Concord, New Hampshire.
Seven of the Republican presidential candidates will debate for the last time tonight before New Hampshire voters go to the polls Tuesday. NPR's Mara Liasson has more.
Tonight's debate is expected to be tense and combative. Marco Rubio told NBC News that being president is not like being a real estate developer, a clear swipe at Donald Trump. Jeb Bush and Chris Christie have both questioned Rubio's record and experience. Several candidates are angry at Ted Cruz, alleging that he used dirty tricks to win the Iowa caucuses. Cruz's campaign sent messages to Iowa voters falsely suggesting that Ben Carson was about to suspend his campaign. Tonight's debate is sponsored by ABC News, and only the male GOP candidates will be on stage. Carly Fiorina failed to meet the criteria for poll rankings, although she did win one more delegate in Iowa than either Chris Christie or John Kasich. Mara Liasson, NPR News, Manchester.
A Los Angeles area doctor has been sentenced to 30 years to life in prison for overprescribing painkillers that led to the deaths of three patients. NPR's Ina Jaffe reports this is the first time a doctor in the U.S. has been convicted of murder for overprescribing medication.
Prosecutors say that 46-year-old Dr. Lisa Tseng continued to prescribe large amounts of drugs even after learning her patients were dying. Altogether, 12 of her patients died, but because of additional factors in some of those deaths, she was charged with just three counts of second-degree murder. According to the Drug Enforcement Administration, Tseng wrote more than 27,000 prescriptions over a three-year period. L.A. District Attorney Jackie Lacey said that the doctor just wanted to get rich quick. Before she was sentenced, Tseng apologized to the families of her dead patients, saying, quote, "I suffer every day from the impact, and I will do everything I can to take responsibility." Ina Jaffe, NPR News.
Social media website Twitter is clarifying today its tweet stream will remain live and in real time, knocking down reports it would switch to a different methodology. This is NPR. The committee advising the Pope on how to fight pedophilia in the church has lost a prominent member. As NPR's Camilla Domonoske reports, that member, Peter Saunders, is an abuse survivor and a high-profile advocate.
Peter Saunders has sharply criticized the Vatican for failing to prevent or punish sexual abuse of children, and he's called for the resignation of prominent church figures. Saunders was one of two abuse survivors on the commission advising the Pope. Last February, after the group's first full meeting, the British advocate said the church protected far too many abusive priests.
This has got to be consigned to history very, very quickly. And if in a year or two there isn't some firm action on those matters, then I don't think I'll be sitting here talking to you.
Today, the commission announced it had been decided Saunders would take a leave of absence. Camilla Domonoske, NPR News.
In New York City, officials are working to determine the cause of the collapse of a giant construction crane in the Tribeca neighborhood. A man on the street below died as the crane came crashing down yesterday in a snowstorm and gusty winds. Commissioner Rick Chandler of the New York City Buildings Department told reporters they're starting to take the crane apart.
The main point is to cut them in locations that doesn't compromise the forensic engineering value so that we can have experts study how these pieces failed.
Officials hope the work can be done by Monday, although it will take time to restore the street and the water pipes. I'm Louise Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.
From the latest newscast to the newest podcast, NPR One handpicks local, national, and international stories based on what you like. Download the NPR One app, a new way to experience public radio.